This week for Happy Hour, Nick and I learn where vanilla flavoring comes from, share good news about AI saving lives and soul, treatment breakthroughs for neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, and talk Sesame Street and why good news is so important. Welcome to the Happiest Hour. We haven't done it in a while, so I wanted to bring in the air horn again.
I like it.
Nick, we're back. I feel like if we ever did a useless talent show, mine would be doing the air horn with my mouth.
I mean, it's a solid skill to have, though.
Well,
because you could be at the beach and somebody could say a really funny joke. And the next thing you know, that was dope.
But also, most people probably have their phones on them on the beach. I actually do not.
I don't.
If I'm at the beach, I leave my phone in the room because I just want to be on the beach.
I have an old school iPod Shuffle, like the little mini ones.
Yeah.
That doesn't have a screen. And I'll just put a big playlist on it. I'll just hook it into a speaker or connect it Bluetooth, and that's what I'll play music off of if I want music at the beach.
You know, I think I usually am just, like, mooching off of someone else's music. You know, just sit by whoever has Eric Church playing, because they can't be all bad.
No, they got to be pretty solid people
sure.
for listening to Eric
Church. Or I am playing Spikeball. Those are my two modes at the beach.
What about football?
Oh, definitely football.
Volleyball?
You know, I would play volleyball. I don't feel like there's always, or I feel like there's not always a net nearby. So you kind of have to travel.
With set net?
Yes. Or travel on a pilgrimage to try and find a net somewhere down the beach.
Yeah, the next thing you know, you're 45 minutes down the beach.
Yeah.
And then you got to walk the 45 minutes back. That just sounds like a lot.
Exactly. So it's better to just stick by, you know, stay close, use the gifts that you've been given and the resources that you have on hand, and then it's still going to be a successful trip.
Totally.
Okay. You want to hear my first big question of the night?
Yes.
If you could shop for free at one store, which one would you choose?
Oh, boy. Is this just like a one-time offer? Or is it for the rest of my life?
I was imagining it was for the rest of my life. Are they two different answers for you?
Well, I would think, because if the one's for the rest of my life, it's got to be something that serves food. Not a restaurant, but like a grocery store, like a Publix. If I can get whatever I want for the rest of my life in a Publix, I mean, come on. Game on.
That's so annoyingly practical.
But if you're saying, hey, it's like a one-time thing, grab as much as you can in a cart and go, REI, hands down.
Okay. That's a good choice.
Or a car dealership. I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
Where would you put said cars?
I don't know. Our driveway can barely fit two cars, so I don't... Okay, probably not a car dealership, but it was funny to think about. Why? What would you do?
And
I'll let you go one of each, since I went one of each.
Well, I think it would probably be the same.
Practicality would win out, though.
Practicality would not win out at all. No, it would be Madewell, probably, in both instances. Or Lululemon.
What was the first one?
Madewell.
What's that?
It's a clothing store.
Oh. As you can tell, I'm very high in my fashion.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All of their clothes are super cute. And they're a little bit more expensive. They're not ridiculous. But they're made better.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
I didn't want to say they're made well because... That's dumb. But yeah, I like don't shop there, but I feel like I'm at this point in my life where I've like reached the point in my life where I'm supposed to be shopping for quality over quantity.
Yes.
So instead of getting like 10 of the same shirts at Old Navy, I should just get one of them that will last me for the rest of my life at Madewell.
That makes sense. I'll give you that. And I like the Lululemon.
I know. And that's really all I've been wearing since I had shoulder surgery. Even before COVID hit, like all I wore in life and work was workout clothes. So I feel like that one would be more, it would, I mean, I guess there aren't any bucks, so I can't say that there would be more bang for my buck, but I don't know.
It's just a hard choice. It would last you longer, though.
Well, it would just not necessarily last me longer because I'd wear them more. You see what I'm saying? This is hard. I don't know.
Ashley got me a pair of Lululemon shorts for Christmas, but we just said, hey, Merry Christmas is what I'm getting you. And neither of us have actually gone and gotten set gift for each other. So I've yet to see set Lululemon shorts, but I haven't gotten her gift yet either. So
you've really heard good things, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. I've heard great things. I've never been in a store, though, before. Or I've never even worn a pair of Lululemons.
They're nice.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of, like, the best place for, like, the best Lululemon. There's one in the Gulch and there's one in Green Hills. Neither of those places are ideal to go to unless you go at like 7 p.m. on a Tuesday.
Well, I can't do that. Maybe 7 p.m. on a Wednesday.
Okay.
If we're not going out to dinner.
Sure. Well, just go before or after dinner. Do a late dinner.
Ooh, there we go. See, now we're talking. If we can get like a dinner reservation that's a little bit later than...
Mm-hmm. You just got to bite the bullet and get them.
I know. There's a lot of things I should bite the bullet on. Just haven't done it yet.
It's hard. Biting bullets is hard.
Adulting.
Here's my next big question.
Okay.
What do you really resent paying for?
Parking.
Me too.
100%.
I am one of those people that will park like 2 miles away in a street spot and walk.
Yep.
Instead of paying for a parking garage.
I remember when I was working on Broadway in my early serving / bartending career here in Nashville, I would park in the R lot at Nissan and I would walk across the pedestrian bridge and walk up.
Yep.
It was just easier than paying some stupid rate to sit in a garage. Like I didn't care that much.
It dumb. Not even just garages, but like paid lots.
Oh, nope. Horrible.
I just don't even want to deal with it. However, I will say when we went to 60 Vines,
yep,
I made an exception because I was already running late. So I parked in a parking garage.
Do you mind if I ask how much it cost?
$10. I mean, we were there for a while.
Yeah. I mean, I parked in 5th and Broadway garage. I actually parked in their garage.
I didn't know that they had a garage.
Yep. It goes underneath.
Honestly, I got lost on the above ground levels. So if I had to go underground into the parking garage, there's no way that I would have made it back out.
If you think about what 5th and Broadway is, for those that have never been to Nashville or don't know what 5th and Broadway is, there's shops and restaurants on the first floor. On the second floor, there's more shops and a food hall. And then on the third story, there's a restaurant called 60 Vines, which is a wine bar. And they have an insane amount of wines on tap.
60.
Is that? Oh, I guess that would make sense if it's called 60 Vines. That would make perfectly good sense. But the parking garage is underneath, and Ashley and I went out afterwards because I was like, well, this is technically like my Friday / Saturday, so do you want to go have a couple beers on Broadway? It's a Wednesday night. She goes, sure, let's go. So we went down, and my favorite bar on Broadway is Second Fiddle. Shout out.
Fiddle?
Second Fiddle, yep. Okay. Like the instrument.
Not Second Fiddle.
No,
Fiddle. Second Fiddle.
Yeah, like cool. The violin equivalent.
Yep.
Yeah. I can't remember which one's got the extra string, but I think a violin's got 4, a fiddle's got 5.
Sure.
Well,
do not know.
We'll fact check that. But we went out, only we had about two drinks. Oh, well, I had two drinks. She only had one. And then we walked back to the truck, and we were leaving. $31 later. And we were there for 4 hours.
Yeah.
4.5 hours. So, I mean, it wasn't too bad, but still.
It's too much. You shouldn't have to pay for parking.
I hate that. And then when you work in, like, in that area, finding street parking sometimes insane.
Well, you have to buy a monthly parking pass that are like $200 or something.
Yeah, no. I don't make that much money.
Also, a violin has four strings. But going back to the parking, okay. I think if I worked downtown, I would like ride the bus or something. I would try to get, or I would try to get as close as possible to living there, and then I just ride my bike.
Yep.
Or walk.
I did that for a little while, but then it gets kind of chilly during the winter.
Oh, I feel like it's.
But there was also times when I would walk down, because I was about a 45-minute walk, and I would just take off in the middle of winter. I'd zip up a jacket and I'd just start walking. And I get walking to work when I was working on Broadway, and they'd be like, "Why are you sweating? It's 30 degrees outside." I was like, "Yeah, I walked here."
That reminds me of college, even in the dead of winter, when it's, you know, 20 degrees outside, my hair is actually frozen.
Oh, yeah.
But I get to class and my back is sweating because of the old backpack.
Yep. The coat and the backpack combo.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, I didn't actually have a coat, like a winter coat, until a couple of years ago, because all of my friends were judging me for not having a winter coat. So I didn't get one because I was fine. I was like, it's still the coldest it ever gets here is like maybe the teens most of the time.
This past year was kind of a fluke.
But. And it's not like I'm hanging out outside when it's that cold. I'm like sprinting to my car. Not really. I don't sprint anything. I'm walking to my car and walking into whatever building I'm going to. But because I wanted to please my friends and, you know, easily give in to peer pressure. Please don't try to get me to try any drugs because I probably would. I bought a winter coat.
You are a seven, though.
I'm a seven. And now I need that winter coat. I'm like a little pansy. I get cold now.
It's all about the layers, I'm telling you. Oh, there we go. There we go. Is that a crowd roaring or like a...
Yeah. Also because this is the first time that I've been able to find ranch riders in stock in... ever since I've started looking for ranch riders, so
I didn't. I've never heard.
It's a cheer.
I never heard of them until you said.
Easily confused with ranch water, especially since this one's the brand is Ranch Rider Spirits, and the specific title of this option is Ranch Water.
Well, isn't Ranch Water the type of cocktail?
Well, it's actually more like cider. Or something like it's malt liquor, I think.
Okay.
So this is actual tequila, and it tastes like it. Oh. It's much better.
I mean, I'm drinking that Coors Pure. You know,
healthy.
It's a light beer, 92 calories, no added sugar, organic barley, organic hops.
We're so fit.
You can tell Ashley's been
watching documentaries
and influencing me in my life decisions. It's still pretty good, though. I like it.
Coors.
It's got more flavor than regular Coors Light.
Anything's better than Corona. Ugh. For a second, I thought you were handing me like a Corona Pure, and I was like, nothing's going to help this.
No.
It doesn't matter how organic it is.
Nope.
I guess if you have lime.
That just gave me the chills.
That, like, lime supposedly helps, but I can't confirm or deny that.
I don't know. If I'm going Mexican beer, I'm going Dos Equis.
Sure.
I love Dos Equis, and I'd much rather drink a Modelo than I would a Corona.
If I'm going Mexican drinks, I'm going margarita.
Well, yeah, that's why I said beer. If we are talking about drinks, margarita, yes, hands down. Hands down. I have been on tequila kick recently, though.
Well, do you want a ranch rider?
No.
Okay.
I'm just going to stick with this.
All right, you do you.
Thank you, though.
Okay. Ready for we Googled that for you?
Oh, yeah. Cue that music!
Okay. We'll do the easy questions first, because I have a feeling the big one we're going to want to chat about for a minute.
Okay.
All right. So this first question then is, what is a verb?
A verb is an action.
Yes. So it is a word that expresses an action or state of being, the latter being known as a linking verb. So I am human. That's like a state of being, and yes. It's a linking verb.
Yes.
There are also helping verbs, which would be something like, I will be a zombie one day.
Oh, boy. See, this is why I never became a writer.
All right, this next question. How many people are in the world? Take a guess.
Ooh. 7.2 billion.
Whoa, that's very close. Kind of. 7.9 billion. Okay. Almost 7.9 billion.
Okay, so it was only 700 million off.
Yeah. Not that bad.
For as many people in the world, that's actually very marginal.
Small, right. Yeah. There is a website, worldometers.info, that keeps like a running tally. So it like shows
How do
like
you tally that?
I don't know. Deaths, births, and then you can break it down by country.
I feel like it's just an algorithm doing average things. Like there's no way to get all that information and be that current. Because that number has to literally change by seconds.
It's probably not necessarily like...
It's a rough estimate.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's still insane.
I'm sure like, you know, if five people right now in Nashville, God forbid, died, it wouldn't calculate that right now. It would probably go into like...
Why can't you go...
Into the births.
Into births.
I know.
Like what if there were just... 15 babies just born over at St. Thomas.
I did read a story last week, I think. There was a hospital, I can't remember where it was, but they just beat the record of how many births they had in like so many months. I think they had like 100, no, it wasn't even months. It was like within days. They had 100 babies born in their hospital.
Holy cow.
It's a lot of babies.
That is a lot of babies.
Within like a short span. I don't even, maybe it was like Atlanta or
New York City or somewhere highly populated.
Yeah. And some, I mean, there had to be a hospital that was large enough to have like that sort of capacity. Like that's not happening in Tennessee.
No, there's no way. I mean, Nashville is growing. Yes. But I don't think that.
Not in one hospital.
Not in one hospital. Maybe throughout the, is there three major hospitals, right? Two major hospitals that are
Vanderbilt, St. Thomas.
I think there's, oh, well, I guess Children's is right there too, but that's Vanderbilt.
Well, TriStar Centennial, would that be a big one?
Yeah.
Are we missing one?
I feel like we're missing a big one.
Vanderbilt, St. Thomas. We'll figure it out later.
Yep, we got it.
Okay. This last, we Googled that question. Where does vanilla flavoring come from?
I don't know if I really want to know this.
Where would you think vanilla flavoring came from?
I would hope it would come from a bean, like a vanilla bean.
Yeah, or like a plant. Don't they like scrape vanilla from...
Isn't it like a flower?
Maybe. Either way, this is not how we have gotten our vanilla flavoring in food and perfume, largely over the last 80 years is not fair, because I would say that they're probably producing it more artificially now. However, it used to come from beaver butts.
Beaver butts?
Yep.
Beaver.
The old hind end of a beaver. Yep.
Like so, the water wood eating creature.
Yep. Big teeth, build dams.
It came from their butt?
Yeah, so they secrete a goo.
I'm never going to have
from their
anything vanilla ever again.
From their butt called castoreum. which is what the animals use to mark their territory. Why? And the FDA lists castoreum as a generally regarded as safe additive, and manufacturers have been using it for perfumes and foods for at least 80 years. So it's obviously not one of those things where you can, like, mass produce it, right? Like, you're not able to, like, I don't know, just be around when beavers are marking their territory.
Yeah.
So you can't mass produce it that way. So I think they're artificially making it now, mostly, or maybe it's coming from, like, the, you know, vanilla bean. But that's where...
But.
That's where it originally came from.
That makes me never want to drink anything with, or eat anything with vanilla ever again.
This is going to sound really gross, but it kind of makes me want to, like, hang out around a beaver and wait until they mark their territory and then smell it and actually take note of if it smells like my coffee or any perfume that I've ever worn, probably when I was in, like, eighth grade. I don't think I have any perfume now that has vanilla in it, but I'm like, where do I find natural beavers?
Can you imagine being... I love when stuff like this also comes up, because, like, a guy that found milk, that means there was some guy somewhere that was like, I'm going to tug on this cow really quick, and we're going to see if this is edible. Like, let's see if I can drink this. I want to meet the guy that was like, you know what? That kind of smells like vanilla.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder what the context was. Like, were they hunting a beaver? And the beaver was like, don't F with me. And
it said 80 years ago. So, like, that's recent. That's not back, like, in the 1800s when we were heading west and it happened. Like, nope, this was 80 years ago.
This was within the last century.
Cell phones, well, iPhones and beaver butts. That's pretty much what has came out of the last century. Computers. Microchips. We went to space.
I mean, if you think about it, beavers have given us so many good jokes. They're just great material.
They are.
And therefore great animals. I mean, who can not like a beaver now? That literally when they mark their territory, it smells like vanilla.
So if I ever smell vanilla in the woods, that means I got to be close to a beaver, right?
Surely, yeah. I think that's the only thing that could mean.
I will know for next time when I'm out in the middle of the wilderness and smell vanilla.
I love that one. And I also love stories like that or questions like that, because it means, like, people are searching for this. Somehow one person in the world is like, I mean, it's the same thing with the chainsaw and the graham crackers.
Yeah.
You know, it just takes one person to be curious about something like this and then Google it, find this horrific or gross or amazing story, and then it's trending. And now everyone's figuring out where vanilla flavoring come from.
But, like, why would you... I've never wanted to know, ever, where vanilla came from, because I just thought it came from the vanilla plant in some way, shape, or form.
Well, I guess if you think about it, like, vanilla flavoring is not necessarily, like...
It's not extract.
Yeah, well, it's also not... There's, like, vanilla ice cream, and then there's vanilla bean ice cream.
Oh, boy. I'm never going to look at ice cream the same ever again. Hold on. I need to do this real quick, if I can. Okay, there we go. This is
going
to
help. The crowds are going wild for us tonight.
A little better. Beaver butts. Okay.
You ready to get to good news?
Ooh, let's do it. I always need some good news.
Good news. Okay, so this first story is out of South Korea.
Okay.
Seoul, South Korea is starting to use AI to detect and prevent suicide attempts on bridges. So it's kind of sad why they're starting to do this. It's suicide. I think they had the most number of suicides in a country over 2020. Like, there were more suicide or suicide attempts there than any other place.
Wow.
And so they are starting to use, like, CCTV footage and artificial intelligence to figure out what people are thinking when they're standing on a bridge. So, like, if you're hesitating or if you're looking nervous or something like that, the AI can somehow detect that. And then they can, like, get authorities there to help. Isn't that crazy?
CCTVs are, like, their cameras are that good? Like, I feel like this is Minority Report. I feel like that's kind of where we're going, minus the girls in the tank floating that are, you know, predicting over everything.
Sure. Well, I mean, I think it's getting better. I don't know that it's, like, you know, 100%.
So does it just comb through footage? Is that what mm-hmm. the AI is doing? It just mm-hmm. combs through footage? I wonder if it sees if somebody's kind of on that brink or standing in one spot long enough, and then it red flags it.
Well, I think, so this says they're assessing details such as hesitation of the person. And then they can forecast a hazardous situation and immediately alert rescue teams.
Huh.
So I guess, like, there, you can detect in a person, like, body language and emotion and stuff like that when we're sad or when we're happy. You know, like, it's clear. Most people, I think, wear their emotions
on their sleeves. Yeah.
Like, we can kind of tell if you're having a good day or a bad day, or if you're super high or super low or super high, just period. So I think they're, like, using that to be able to determine if someone's considering jumping. And they're hoping it's going to save lives.
So it hasn't taken effect yet?
I don't think so.
That's still pretty crazy, though. Yeah, I feel like we're heading into a new age technology, and that's one way to use it.
Yeah, I feel like this is one of those ways to use it for, like, for good.
For helping individuals that may need help and haven't said anything yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And if, I mean, especially, I feel like if you're at that place, you're feeling really alone, right? So it's not like you're going to some of the people who know you the best or being around any people who we can naturally empathize
yeah.
with others. And, well, most people can. And can tell, like, oh, they're not having a great day or something's up. And we can ask them questions and we can try to care for them and all of that. But if you're at that place, like, if you're already on, like, the brink of that, then you're not going to go hang out with people who would be able to empathize with you
yeah.
and, like, notice that. So if artificial intelligence can, like, learn empathy and learn facial expression and how we express and carry emotion and stuff, that's pretty cool.
Do you think it could catch them on the way to the bridge?
Hmm.
Or are they just trying to specify in these target areas leading up to a bridge?
Yeah, I think it's mostly if someone has been at a bridge for
an X amount of time.
For a while.
Red flag.
It's like, okay, maybe we should alert some rescue teams for this. Because, we all get agitated in traffic.
Oh, 100%. You should have seen me on the way here. I got cut off four times.
I don't know what is happening in Nashville today, but the traffic has been crazy today.
Yeah,
all day. Literally since I have left, it has been just wild, wild west.
I hit traffic at 6:50 at night.
Yeah. Is something happening today?
What?
Besides a lot of construction?
No, construction, that's nothing really new. I did see all, like, the T-Dot guys, though, all those big helper trucks that go around and have the big screens and tell you to switch lanes and can help somebody change their tire. There were four of them lined up in the middle of the intersection before I turned on a church.
Weird.
They were just hanging out right there, all four of them in the middle of the highway.
I don't know what is going on, but it has been crazy. Crazy day. Hopefully tomorrow is better. I need my coffee run to be a lot shorter than 20 minutes.
Oof. Where do you go for coffee?
Ugly Mugs. Bless them. They were like, we're really, really short-staffed, so it's going to be a while. And I'm like, I just want an iced latte. I don't need a Sammy or anything.
So does everybody else in front of you.
No, there was only one person in front of me.
And it was going to take 20 minutes?
It took a long time. At least 10 minutes.
What is it called?
Ugly Mugs. It's right by my house.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So I can either walk there, which is very nice, or I usually hit the drive-thru on my way to work.
There's nothing where Ash and I live.
I know.
It's a residential neighborhood. There's nothing really there.
It is the suburbs. You're kind of close to the zoo, but you can't walk there.
No, I wouldn't walk to the zoo. I'd get hit by a car.
Yeah.
And that would take an hour and a half.
Yeah, no thanks.
Not that close.
Okay, this next story. Chemists in Russia have found a breakthrough treatment for Alzheimer's and Parkinson's that protects brain cells from amyloid plaque. So I had a conversation with my friend today who is doing neurodegenerative research. She's like focusing on Huntington's, and I had her dumb it down for me. Speaking of, I asked her, I was like, is there like a Science for Dummies website that I can subscribe to so that I don't have to text you every time I have these questions? And there is literally dummies.com/science. It's like the people who make it, Wiley, the people who make all the
books.
Yeah. Blah, blah, blah for dummies.
Yep.
They have a website and it's now on my favorites page.
Oh, I'm going to add that after I'm here.
I know. I love it. I'm so excited about it. But here is what I have gathered. So neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are usually caused by a buildup of weird or bad proteins in brain tissue.
Okay.
So, and the majority of those proteins are called amyloid proteins and amyloid plaque. So they have found that they are able to activate the synthesis of specific heat shock proteins and cause their accumulation in these cells. So they did their research in like Alzheimer cells. So like, you know, not inside someone's brain, but in a little
petri dish.
Yep. And they also did experiments with rats who had traumatic brain injuries, which I don't even know how that happens for rats. Hopefully we don't give them those traumatic brain injuries.
That's where my head went.
Hopefully that is not the case.
Do we give them TBIs? Oh, weird. Okay.
Anyways, not going there. But so they were able to activate the synthesis of these heat shock proteins. And honestly, like the way that these are pronounced, I'm not even really sure. Pyrrolil and endolylazine, maybe that's just Gina's pronunciation of these. I cannot actually find them on Google. So
okay. But if Google can't find it, then
TBD. Surely they actually exist. Because, you know, scientists are still a little smarter than Google in science.
Yeah.
Anyways, so I think they put these, like they accumulated in the same place within the cells. So like these heat shock proteins and the amyloid proteins, if they accumulated in the same place, then the heat shock proteins, basically, this is Gina's paraphrase version, these heat shock proteins were able to just be like, nope, go away, like, you're not doing this, and it stopped them. So, and this is huge because right now the only treatment we have for things like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, all of these neurodegenerative diseases is purely meant to like suppress symptoms for as long as possible. We don't have anything that actually can like help stop it or like cure the actual disease, not just suppress symptoms. So they're thinking that this could be a huge treatment option.
Huh.
Isn't that cool?
That's really cool. I have a very close family friend that is suffering. I'm not 100% sure what she's dealing with, but it's like these two girls that I really grew up with, it's their mom.
It's so sad.
Yeah. You could tell like she was part of the conversation when she was down here visiting in Nashville. And then like there'd just be some times where you could tell she was just kind of laughing just because everyone else was.
Mm.
And it's really hard to see somebody, especially once you've seen them in other states.
Yeah.
But I mean, that is fantastic. But yeah. Do you think it's like, I mean, granted, you said Russia, right?
Yeah.
So is that going to be eventually the U.S. is going to pick up on it and be like, hey, we want to help out? Or is it one of those things where we're going to try to do it our way so our scientists can do it and clear our channels for medications and stuff like that? Because the FDA is no joke.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. They didn't go into detail about what's next in the article, but... Huh. You know, I would kind of assume that scientists around the world share research with each other and they'll continue to experiment and figure out like even better ways to do this. But I feel like, man, this is a huge breakthrough. Alzheimer's and just neurodegenerative diseases are terrifying to me.
Yes.
This like makes me just like feel a little bit more at peace knowing that, you know, we're making strides.
Yeah.
These next two stories, I legitimately just like bawled. Okay.
Great.
They're so sweet. The headline for this one is, when a woman stole his dog, this man didn't press charges. Instead, he's paying for her drug rehab. So Braden Morton was addicted to fentanyl, which that's a painkiller, right? So
pretty sure.
Did you say pretty sure?
Yeah, I'm not 100%. I don't really know anything about painkillers.
So I would assume this is one that is that a lot of people like. I would almost assume that it's part of like the opioid crisis.
Yes.
So he was addicted to fentanyl for 5 years, and it just like
crushed everything.
Yeah, it almost wrecked his life. Almost killed him. Like. Because of the drugs and because he was a drug dealer and he like got shot and stabbed and all of this crazy stuff. And so he finally got clean, went to rehab. I think what he said was, he fell off the wagon one night and he like just drank a bunch of alcohol, took a bunch of fentanyl and was like, if I survive this, I'm going to rehab or I'm quitting drugs. And he somehow survived it, and he has not touched drugs since. Crazy. Would not necessarily recommend
that route. I would not recommend that whatsoever.
0 out of 10. Do not recommend. However, it worked for Braden. And he was just chilling at home one day, and his dog, Darla, who is a Chinese Sharpei, was lounging in the sun, and she got stolen. She was stolen. And so he kept trying to find her, offered rewards, all of this stuff, was starting to give up hope. And finally, the woman who took her called him. And he knew. He was like, one, I know that she, because I don't think she confessed right away. So he was like, one, I know that she's the person who took my dog. And two, she's addicted to drugs.
You could tell.
He could tell.
Yeah.
Like, he saw a lot of himself in her. And lo and behold, she had been addicted to fentanyl since she was 16 years old. Ooh. And so he went over to her house or wherever she was living, got his dog back, and not only... I mean, he didn't give her the reward because he didn't want her to use it on drugs, but he has put it towards the down payment for her going to rehab.
That's cool.
Isn't that so sweet?
That makes me have faith in humanity right there. Stories like that. I mean, but who takes a man's best friend?
I know. To be fair, Braden Morton, the hero of the story, is Canadian, so I don't know that, like, people in America would do this. But I like to think so.
Yeah, I like to think so, too.
Canadians are super great, but I think people everywhere can be.
Yes.
Canadians, it's just, like, bred into them.
It's second nature.
Yeah. But, yeah, I wept when I read that story. I was like, this is the sweetest thing. All right, this last story. Did you watch Sesame Street as a kid?
No, I was a Barney kid.
Either way, great TV shows. I personally loved Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Yeah.
But this story is about Sesame Street. So the headline for this one is Sesame Street tackles anti-Asian bullying with Proud of Your Eyes video. So they... Sesame Street and Sesame Workshop, so that's the nonprofit educational organization behind Sesame Street, have been doing a lot of educational curriculum around just race and how to talk about race, both for kids and their parents. And honestly, I'm like, all of us should probably be watching this.
And for us, it's going to be more nostalgic, too.
So, sure, yeah. Sure. But... the video, Proud of Your Eyes, is part of their programming, the ABCs of Racial Literacy. And can we, do you think we could play the song? Would that be okay?
Yeah, why not? Let's go and play it.
I see in your eyes that you feel hurt. Just know that they were wrong. Someone said things that made you sad. You were beautiful all along. Your eyes are wonderful, and the girl here with me I see is someone wonderful. Yes, the girl here with me is someone wonderful. Your eyes tell the story of your family. They show where you come from and how you came to be. The color, the shape, and the size should always make you proud of your eyes.
Maybe your eyes look different from mine. They're part of who we are. But when we both smile, our eyes both shine as bright as any star. Your eyes are beautiful, and when you look at me, I see someone wonderful.
When you look at us, we see someone wonderful. Your eyes tell the story of your family. They show where you came from and how you came to be.
The color,
the shape,
and the size
should always make you proud of your eyes.
I can always be proud of my eyes.
So I loved this. When I heard it the first time, again, I wept. Because, man, it's just, we have been avoiding these conversations for a really long time.
Yeah.
And it's because no one likes being told that, like, things aren't shiny and great. And we don't want to have to, like, confront anything tough, but because of that, we haven't had these conversations. Like, I didn't learn about how racial injustice was still a thing when I was growing up. Like, that it wasn't conversations
you
that we had.
You learned about it in school from the civil rights, and you did all that, but it was never talked about.
And it was taught as, like, ancient history, right? Yeah. Like, there is nothing to worry about anymore. But I mean, it's clearly not true just based on how our African-American or Asian-American or any of our BIPOC brothers and sisters have been treated and targeted, right? Like, are important conversations that we have to have. We have to be able to speak to it and confront it so that we're able to fight it, right? Like, you can't fight anything that you don't know exists or that you're unwilling to admit exists.
Yep.
And for them to be able to teach this and, like, show this to children and for them to be able to absorb it in a way that it, like, makes sense to them, they understand it, it's not necessarily softening anything. It doesn't make it any less hard,
but it brings up the conversation early enough to where they can understand kind of in their own way what's going on. Because I know Sesame Street also did something for deployed families. Like, hey, daddy or mommy's going to be away for a little while. And Sesame Street actually came up with a video to help with that in transitioning their kids from their parents. So when their parents are gone for 6 to 8 months, they kind of understood what was going on.
I love this. Another reason I love this story is because I feel like it really shows the power that television can have.
Oh, 100%.
When it's used and properly. Done well.
Yeah. 100%.
And, you know, obviously we're not all going out to, like, we don't want to be preachy or, like, have a certain agenda or anything like that. But, like, there are certain themes that exist within film and television, and they can be redemptive. They can be like this. They can show you, like, what is good, true, and beautiful. Like, that sweet song. And, you know, in the video, if you watch the video, we'll link to it.
Yep.
Like, you just see her, this Filipino American girl, like, her spirits just change when she feels loved and supported for who she is, not who she needs to be or who the rest of the world thinks she should be. Right.
Yep.
Oh, I love it.
I love it. I'm with you on that one. That's makes my heart feel good, you know, just hearing stories like that. Yeah. You weren't kidding when you said the last two are kind of tearjerkers.
No, it's just, they're good news, man. Yep, they're just pure and good and true and beautiful. And those are my favorite stories. So yeah, I wept, but in a great way.
Of course.
I mean, weeping is weeping. I'm not a fan of it ever, but I'd rather it be for something happy and good than
something sad, depressing. And
Yeah. That we get literally every single day if we watch the news or pay attention to life.
So. Yeah, no. Instead, we just come here. We have a couple drinks, and we talk about good news.
Yep.
And that's how it should be.
Yep, absolutely. We haven't talked about the study that you showed it to me, or you sent it to me. Your pastor at Crosspoint brought it up in one of his sermons. But this whole idea of how news has shifted and, you know, backstory, there was a study done in the 90s, or it started in the 90s, I believe, at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville. Go Vols. And this professor was essentially tracking moods and just life.
It was a 12-year
life expectations.
Study. So yeah, it was like pretty much how if you watched the news or like how your life was influenced
due to and how your perspective changed.
Yeah, and how your perspective changed through the 12 years after being in contact with good news or bad news.
Yeah. And it was absorbing, I mean, not that many, like maybe 5 minutes, or it was a controlled study, right? Like there were exposed to a certain amount of news every single day over the course of this.
Over the course, it was a 12-year, 12 years studying effects of media and how people think.
And do you have the results of his study on you?
So what I have written down here is that the people who listened and were exposed to negative news found they were more depressed, they believed the world was a negative place, and they were less likely to help other people, and they believed what they heard would happen to them.
Mm.
So why not just talk about more good news and do the exact opposite?
Yep.
Let's bring hope. Let's bring in something that can put a smile to somebody's face and have faith in humanity, even if it's not going to directly affect them. Like, help other people. And it's like that pay it forward thing. And maybe one day it'll all come full circle.
Amen. You know, what really struck me in that study was the amount of good news required to combat the effects of the bad news. And I think it was something ridiculous, like 17 good stories were required to minimize the effects of one bad story.
Yep. That's insane.
Yeah. So I'm going to challenge you guys this week to just limit your news intake and see how you feel afterwards. I know when I have not been reading the news as often, and I have definitely not been on Twitter or any form of social media as much over the last 6 months, and it truly has impacted just day-to-day thinking and optimism and all of that. So I challenge you guys to do that this week too.
Hey, I'm gonna do it.
Well, thank you guys for joining us, and we'll see you 2 weeks from now.
All right, cheers.